It's 1967 in Philadelphia. A battle of the bands is going on at a local venue called the Adelphi Ballroom. Now, during the show, a gunfight breaks out between rival gangs in the audience. And two young musicians who've never met run to an elevator for cover. They would go on to form the most successful pop duo of all time. 20 albums, 60 million records sold, 29 top 40 hits, and 6 number ones. Daryl Hall and John Oates took their immense career and have distilled it into a new box set. It's called Do What You Want, Be What You Are. They've come into our New York studios to talk about the new collection and to perform a few songs. Daryl Hall, John Oates, welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's great to be here.
Let's start at the beginning, at that show in Philadelphia. A lot of people think of Hall and Oates and they think 80s pop, you know, Man Eater, You Make My Dreams. But you guys actually started out doing soul. Is that what you were doing at that show?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a band called the Temptones, which was, you know, we were all part of the Philadelphia soul scene. Well, that was the Philadelphia sound, really. And John had a band, and it wasn't a battle of the bands, by the way. It was a battle of the audience. we weren't battling each other. It was really one of those lip sync things. And it was the Five Stair Steps and Howard Tate and John's band, my band, and I forget who else.
It was a local radio
station.
Maybe
the Delphonics or somebody. It was a small but mighty scene at the time. It was sort of the remnants of the Chubby Checker days and all that, Bobby Rydell, trying to form a new sound out of what went down before that in the earlier 60s.
John Oates, who were you guys listening to at the time? What kind of music were you listening to?
Well, you know, we were listening to a lot of different things. I mean, I started out playing a lot of folk music and traditional American music with the Philadelphia Folk Festival and things like that. There was doo-wop music, gospel music, church music.
Your first hit came on your second record, Abandoned Luncheonette. That was released in 1973, and the song was She's Gone. Sometimes it's been called the quintessential Hall & Oates song. John Oates, what's the story behind it?
Well, I mean, I agree with you when you say the quintessential Hall & Oates song, but I would not agree with you in terms of our first hit, because it really wasn't. It was
right.
It was a song that made our, you know, put us on the map, but with underground radio, college radio. We were really a cult band at the time, and there was a diehard, you know, small group of people around the world tuning into us. But She's Gone had a very interesting kind of gestation, I guess you'd call it. We released it really didn't do much, and then a group called Tavares released it as a single, which went to number one on the R&B charts. She's gone. After we had Sarah Smile and Rich Girl, Atlantic Records re-released it yet again, and it finally became a hit for us. So, but over the years, it's really been a song that has defined us in so many ways.
It defines us as songwriters together. That's one thing, because we don't write all that much together. But that song is so much 50-50. But it also defines the idea that we take a sad subject and put sort of these glorious chords to it. So it doesn't sound sad, but it is sad.
Can you guys play that song for us?
Sure.
Is high on consolation. Okay. Okay. One, two, three, four. And... Tell me what is right for me, yeah. But daddy tried to bore me with a sermon. Though it's plain to see, they can't comfort me. Sorry, Charlie, for the imposition. But I believe I've got the strength to carry on. carry on. I need a drink and a quick decision. Ooh, now you're up to me. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, what will be here? She's gone. Oh, I better learn how to face. She's gone and she's gone. Oh, I paid the devil to replace it. She's gone. What where are? Hey. All right.
That's Hall & Oates performing their classic song, She's Gone, at our New York studios. Gentlemen, you sound better than you probably sounded when you originally performed that song.
Well, we've been practicing a lot.
Yeah, we've been practicing.
Do you guys ever occasionally, Daryl Hall or John Oates, sort of flip through television late at night and stumble upon one of your videos from the 80s when you clearly look differently than you do now?
Clearly.
Well,
this is radio. How do you know we don't look exactly the same?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was MTV. As far as we were concerned, videos were always a great way of promoting our music, and that's how we looked at it. We did it tongue in cheek. We stood in front of a black curtain with funny clothes and jumped around, and then it evolved into this, Baroque kind of.
Yeah, we wore funny clothes and did other things.
And jumped around and spent a lot more money doing it.
And of course, you had unique hairstyles and
all the above. Yes, yes.
Well, it was the 80s.
Yeah, you got to remember the 80s. The 80s were the decade that style, I don't know, went berserk on. And this is a funny thing. In the doing of this, the box set, not only was I looking through all the music and looking through my journals and all this stuff, but I was cleaning out. I have storage lockers, and I have about 8 of them filled with my everything in my life, right? And I pulled out all the old clothes, and I found all these video clothes, the dog suit I wore and Out of Touch, and all these crazy things and pictures of the ridiculous hairstyles. You know how big shoulders were in the 80s? It was ridiculous. You couldn't get through a door with the shoulders that people wore in the 80s.
Shoulders are big, ties are skinny, and hair was big.
Yeah. Skinny ties are back, though.
Yeah, now, skinny, okay, the early 80s were okay. The mid 80s went nuts. I'm sorry.
Can we hear one of your songs from the 80s?
Sure. Here's one called Say It Isn't So.
Oh, here we go, man. Oh, 1, 2, 3. See, it isn't so painful to tell me that you're dissatisfied. Last time I asked you, I really got a lame excuse. I know that you lied. Now wicked things can happen. You see, I'm going down in war. But when you play in a quiet way, that burns it even more. Now say, tell me what you want. Yeah, do it, baby. I promise right. Propped you up when you would stop. No motivation had you on the ground. I know your first reaction is slide away, hide away, goodbye. But if there's a doubt, maybe I can't give out. I found the reasons why you have to say it isn't so.
It isn't so.
That just makes me want to crack open a can of New Coke and play with a Rubik's Cube.
Ooh, you're bad, man.
In a good way.
Wear your hair really high.
In a good way. Daryl Hall, Michael Jackson is quoted as saying that I Can't Go For That, one of your hit songs, was his inspiration for Billie Jean.
Well, it's sort of, it's funny how this has gone around and around. I'm the one that quoted that. what happened was when Michael died, people were asking for anecdotes and, you know, asking me and asking everybody probably that was involved with Michael in any way. And I was talking about the We Are the World session when everybody was in a room. And one of the things that happened was Michael pulled me aside and told me that. And said, well, actually, it was just a, sort of a conversational thing, musician to musician. You know, I took Billie Jean from No Can Do. You okay with that? And I went, of course I'm okay with it. So that's where it all came from.
There are, of course, plenty of very famous musical duos. Simon and Garfunkel comes to mind, for example. And just as many stories about how they self-destruct. John Oates? How do you think you guys have managed to stay together for so long?
My take on it is that we have this very, very tight musical kind of library that we draw from, and it comes from our roots and growing up in Philadelphia and the kind of music we listen to, kind of families and the kind of areas we both were raised only 15 miles apart from each other, even though we didn't know each other.
Daryl Hall?
What's equally important and important to me is that we have always, from the very, very beginning, when we first decided to start writing songs together, I think one of the first conversations we had was, okay, we're going to share a stage, but we are not going to just be this thing that becomes I used to call it Martin and Lewis or Abbott and Costello or something. Even down to the idea that we have always insisted on being billed as Daryl Hall and John Oates, not Hall and Oates. Even though everybody calls us Hall and Oates, whenever we can, we say, no, we're Daryl Hall and John Oates. We're two different people. We're two distinct people and not to be looked at in just in relation to the other person. But we were kids together.
We started as friends and we grew up. We grew up our entire adult life sharing basically the same experiences.
Yeah.
It's almost, it's like a family. It's a brotherhood that's beyond friendship, way beyond friendship. Our history is our future.
Hey, I love that line. I love that line.
That's Daryl Hall and John Oates. Their new box set is called Do What You Want, Be What You Are. Daryl Hall, John Oates, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And can you play us out with a song?
You want to do Sarah, Daryl?
Yeah, absolutely. Sarah, smile.
3, 4. Baby, hey, with a woman's eye, I can feel you watching in the night. All along with me, hey. Waiting for the sunlight. Bye. When I feel cold, warm me. And when I feel I can't go on, you come and hold me. Cause it's you and me forever. Oh, Sarah.
Smile.
Sarah, smile on. Won't you smile on me? If you feel like leaving, you know you can go. Why don't you wait?
And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Have a great week.